Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzimatidis here. It's Sunday morning. What's going on around the world? Well, so many things are happening. And with us today is one of the most qualified guys I know. We have Admiral James Stavridis. He was in the Navy for over 37 years. And he was in charge of NATO for the whole world for 4 years. Now he's vice chairman of global affairs for the Carlyle Group. One knowledgeable guy. Good morning, Admiral Stavridis. How are you?
Doing great. Great to hear you today, Katz.
There's so many problems going on around the world. I mean, where do we begin? The Ukraine. It seems like Russia is lining up their troops. It seems like they're trying to induce a possible revolution within the Ukraine. Can you tell us your gut feeling and your the pulse of the situation?
I'm worried, John. You know, we often use the expression Vladimir Putin is saber rattling. I got to say, the saber is definitely out of the sheath and is being waved around pretty much in the face of the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian President Zelensky. Putin has somewhere around 90,000 troops massed on the border. He is reportedly, and there's tapes that show this, supporting a potential coup attempt in Kiev. And this is right out of his playbook from 2008 when he invaded Georgia, still has troops there, and 2014 when he invaded Ukraine the last time and still has troops there. So I think we've got to pay very, very close attention, and we've got to emphasize to Putin that he will pay a significant price if he undertakes another invasion of this sovereign country.
In your opinion, is the United States prepared to do that, or do you think we're not? I mean,
here's what we need to do. We need to amp up our intelligence gathering so we know minute to minute what the Russian troops are doing. Number two, we need to increase our cyber approach using more of both intelligence collection and potentially offensive cyber to undermine any Russian moves. Number three, we've got to get more lethal weapons in the hands of Ukrainians so that they can defend themselves. You know, Ukraine, a nation of 40 million with very weak armed forces, is not going to attack Russia. It's going to come the other way. So we ought to be providing high levels of weapon systems that they can use to defend themselves. And lastly, John, we should be marshaling NATO. I spent 4 years, as you mentioned, as Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. When NATO speaks collectively, Russia is forced to listen. So I think those are the key steps that have to be undertaken, and they need to be done forcefully and quickly if we're going to stop this.
Moving on in that whole area, it looks like the United States or John Kerry is about to make another deal with the Iranians. What do you hear about that?
I think it's possible we'll have another deal with the Iranians. But so far, the Iranians have not been very cooperative in undertaking strengthening that agreement and lengthening the time of the agreement. Those were the failings of the previous agreement with Iran. And from all that I can see in the reporting, John, the Iranians, who have a much harder line leader in President Raisi, are unlikely to back off their demands. So I think the administration will try and negotiate a deal. President Biden said on the campaign trail that if he did a new deal, it would be longer and stronger. I think that's unlikely. My guess is we will not see a deal.
Well, will the United States keep its ally Israel in the loop?
We must keep Israel in the loop. And frankly, it's not just Israel, John. As you know, it's also our Arab allies, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, all of them are concerned about Iran, a Shia country, attempting to create more instability across the Middle East. So what we need to do, if we can't get a nuclear deal, is to work with Israel, the Arab states, and also with our European partners to put more pressure, economic pressure, gather more intelligence. Nobody is better than that than the Israelis, but also the Arabs are pretty good at that as well. So if we can't get the deal, and we'll know whether that's going to happen by early 2022, then it's going to be time to ramp up the pressure working with our allies.
In that same area, I understand, and I don't know if you have heard, Belarus is accusing that refugees are being used as weapons. On the Polish border, is it?
That is correct. Sometimes this is called the weaponization of migration. And what it means is Belarus is allowing Arabs, typically, but many other nationalities to come from the Middle East, many from Syria, but also from parts of Africa, come to Belarus, which is on the border of the European Union, and in particular has a long border with Poland. And then the Belarusians are encouraging these migrants, these refugees, to cross the Polish border. What the leader of Belarus, a man named Lukashenko, kind of a huge dictator and authoritarian, what he's trying to accomplish is to create chaos and division amongst the member states of the European Union. So far, the European Union has hung together very well in terms of pushing back on this. I think that situation is beginning to resolve.
Let's go to the other side of the world now. The China Sea, Taiwan, China. Where do you want to begin there? We have a big mess there.
Well, let's start with one we haven't talked about in a while, and that's a good thing, and it's Kim Jong-un of North Korea. We strangely have not heard much from him over the last 3 years, but I am quite confident, unfortunately, he will begin to resurface as 2022 unfolds, probably after the Olympics. My guess is the Chinese have told him to lay low until the February Olympics are over, look for him to reemerge. He's continuing to launch long-range missiles. He's launching missiles from submarines. He's doing a great deal of advancement of his nuclear program. And frankly, he's a problem that is not just going to go away. But here's some good news, John. The U.S. and South Korea have just agreed to build a new war plan that takes into account some of the advances that he's made. The U.S. and South Korea are restarting some of the essential military training exercises that were put on hold a couple years ago in an attempt to get closer to North Korea. Worthwhile attempt, didn't work out. Now it's time to show Kim that the U.S., South Korea, and our other allies are willing to step up and confront him. So watch for that one, which has been very quiet for the last couple of years. Watch for that to become more of a concern as 2022 unfolds.
Will Japan be part of that alliance?
Japan is very much a strong ally with the United States. And in particular, Japan is focused more on China, but also on North Korea. The Japanese have purchased many U.S. missile defense systems. They're smart to do so because of the threat from North Korea. We also saw just a couple of days ago, John, the former prime minister of Japan, still very respected in Japan, Prime Minister Abe, talk about the strength of the U.S.-Japanese alliance when it comes to confronting China as well as North Korea. So, yes, Japan is very much part of the equation, a positive one for the U.S.
China has made many moves on Taiwan just to, flying airplanes over Taiwan. And we've spoken about it many, many times. Is the aggression the same as usual, or is it increased or anything different?
I think we're in for a relatively quiet year in terms of U.S.-Chinese tension, and I'll tell you why, John. First of all, nothing will happen to rock the boat in a big way between now and February, the Olympics. After the Olympics, the next big target is in November, and that is the 20th Party Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. This is when President Xi will be probably accepted as the leader of China for an unprecedented third five-year term. I don't think, as a result of his desire for that to all go smoothly, I don't think there'll be any significant ramping up of tensions over the course of 2022. The United States should use that space, that time, to put in place a real strategy to deal with China. And that needs to be a strategy that has a diplomatic component, a military component, an economic component, a human rights component, a tech component, a cyber component. We need to pull all that together. We've never done that in terms of facing China. It was not done by the Trump administration, nor was it done by the Obama administration, nor by the Bush administration before them. We've been so focused on the Middle East and on Afghanistan. Now is the time to put in place a national strategy to face China. We need to do that. 2022 is the year to do it. Hopefully, we'll be able to put that in place and begin to implement it before tensions rise, as I think they will in the out years.
Does President Xi have any opposition internally, whether it's verbal or whether it's subverbal or just cooking underneath? In other words, I remember the Greeks had an old expression, the violins playing behind their back.
That is a great Greek expression. I think all the strings are out of the violins in China. And President Xi, to answer your question, has no visible opposition. And I think he will sail right through. And to give him credit, John, he's been carefully working his way up that regime. He's overseen many successes for China. His One Belt, One Road strategy works. It's a clever geoeconomic strategy. We need to recognize he's a formidable figure. And as we think about what we will have to do in terms of facing China, we need to factor in his experience, his gravitas. He will have been the leader of China for 15 years when he completes his next term, and I suspect he'll have one after that. And he's not, by U.S. standards, an older kind of figure. He's in his 60s, very vigorous, very healthy. He's here to stay.
We have a minute left. What else would you like to tell the American people this week?
I would say, despite all the gloom and doom that we've discussed, there are some good things happening in the world. I think we're making some progress on the economy. There are aspects of the economy that are very strong. Inflation is a worry, of course, but many aspects of the economy are very strong. Investment is flowing. The pandemic continues to be highly disruptive. We'll see where this new variant goes, but we're so much further ahead than we were a year or two ago. We have vaccines. We have pills you can take that can help you recover if you do catch COVID. We understand the virus much more than we did. In terms of climate, we had real progress at Glasgow. We still have work to do on that. On and on and on, John. There are good things happening in the world, and as we head into this season of light, we should think not only about what worries us, but also what we can look to that is working well. And I'll close with the last idea, which is our alliances. We have strong allies. A lot of what we've talked about will be dealt with by 30 nations in NATO or by Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand. China doesn't have allies in the way we do. As I look at all the challenges in the international system, one that I feel positive about is our alliance structure. We should guard it and cherish it. It will repay us.
Admiral James Stavridis, former Supreme Commander of NATO, thank you for everything you've done for our country and continue to speak out for our country. God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you, John, and Merry Christmas. All the best.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.